Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, November 17th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. It just gets wilder and more cartoonish all the time. Headlines today: Tesla unveils new electric semi-truck. And this will also coincide with the age of driverless trucks. You'll recall we've talked about Auto. Google's OT.TO initiative, you know, as above, so below kind of stuff. And many other fun things. Anyway, it's going to be a crazy, busy broadcast today going into the weekend. We'll give you plenty to think about. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Should have Richie from Boston coming on this morning here in a moment. We both were on the National Intel Report yesterday. I guess hosted the first hour of yesterday's National Intel Report, and that was sort of a primer for this morning. So we'll talk about some of the videos that he's made recently on the new channel, the new main channel, even though the old main channel is back up. But all right, I guess we're going to have a little pause here for a second as we get things straightened out. So hold on a second. We'll be right back. All right. We're back, right? Fantastic. So these are crazy times, and wow. So let me just kind of start off with some headline stuff. There's a lot of distraction and misdirection in the headlines, but there was one story this morning I'll kind of touch on. Just some of the distractions. Maybe we won't even do that because there are plenty. I mean, you look at just some of the headlines. ISIS warns of Vatican vehicle attack. We've seen these ISIS warnings before, and it's, speaking of stage theater, there's a reason why war is called theater these days, and everyone is an actor, state and non-state actors. Twitter verified, now silencing verified voices, which is no surprise. I mean, that's what all of the social platforms are doing. It's an issue, but not the issue. And speaking of Twitter and distractions, the headline rattled around: Pentagon retweets, then removes post demanding Trump resign. I'm sure the cuckoos will go crazy over that one, because really I think this kind of low-hanging fruit is it's easier for the mind that doesn't think to do that. It's, you know, if your brain is used to a steady diet of junk food, so to speak, then those are the kinds of directions you gravitate, and so people will fight over that. Taylor Swift, most copies sold and getting weirder or creepier, and or maybe just honest all the time. I'd say weirder, creepier. Fox News says Christian faith being attacked online, again, an issue, but not the issue, i.e. feigned persecution, a la the Union Jack. I've talked about that book, The Union Jack, on this broadcast many times. 1979, the book by published anonymously under the nom de plume Helen Peters. Go read the prologue and emphasis on feigned persecution. The transgender athletes, the high school nonsense, that story is rattling around again. Definitely an issue, but not the issue. I mean, it correlates to today's subject matter, but it's not the issue. California Education Tax Relief Act. No child tax relief. Eugenics hard at work. Still not the issue, but it's a corollary. Justice League soars into theaters and filled with all kinds of dark, esoteric propaganda and symbolism, and Henry Cavill's mustache CGI'd out. Proof that you can't believe anything you see on the screen. And it reminds me of, remember last month, NVIDIA's GAN, the Generative Adversarial Network project announcement? Late last month, the Generative Adversarial Network. What is that? The NVIDIA's program that generates, you know, they have an hour and a half long video of imaginary stars, I think it's called. What is it? Something like stars that this Generative Adversarial Network program created. They look real. They're not real. Henry Cavill's mustache was... he was working on another movie project, and they CGI'd his mustache out for several scenes in the Justice League film. So, I mean, that gets off into all kinds of areas of discussion we could broach. And although I will say the headline, "Undercover Cops Brawl After Mistaking Each Other for Suspects," gets honorable mention. That's priceless. Incidentally, have you seen the latest Boston Dynamics Atlas video? It's the parkour robot, some are calling it, performing a backflip. That's frightening and certainly kind of a tag along to today's broadcast. But, you know, you have the shootings that have happened lately. Going back, you know, where do we start? Perhaps November 5th, Sutherland Springs, which brings up the interesting point. So far, this is local news and not national news. FBI multiple agencies conduct raids throughout San Antonio. Homeland Security and a variety of other agencies, San Antonio Police, DHS, Bexar County Sheriff's, New Braunfels Police Department, Texas Department of Public Safety, among those involved, and executing raids around San Antonio early Friday, early this morning. And so numerous raids. And my speculation from the moment that the, you know, you had the 4chan warning essentially that seemed to be connected to the Adam Waffen division in San Antonio the Friday before, remember the 5th of November. And so now we have raids around that area. But why? Why are we not being told what the reason for the raids are? The KSAT ABC 12 story reads, at this time, it is not known why the raids occurred. So they executed multiple raids around the area, numerous raids, but not telling anybody why. They used a flashbang in one raid, which scared the neighbors, obviously. Fun stuff. Anyway, these are some of the things that are going on. And of course, we have what Hollywood or what the media calls sexual misconduct scandals, but the Bible more accurately calls lasciviousness. number of folks, most of them Hollywood types, and folks are I think folks are conflating what's happening in Hollywood with Washington, D.C., but there's a reason D.C. is known as Hollywood for ugly people, or perhaps more appropriately, there's a reason that Hollywood and D.C. are such comfy bedfellows, pun perhaps intended. But the list of Hollywood types is growing, and it's a lot of peripheral figures, many that you've never heard of, relatively unknowns, I would say. Guys like James Toback, Ed Westwick, Andre Blaz, Larry Nassar. You know, these are people that no one's ever heard of, largely. And the Washington types are few. The real power brokers are very few. And those are a consolidation of power, I would say. It's still a distraction, though. And so with all of that said, we're not hearing what we should be hearing. There should be, if the mainstream press was doing its job, quite frankly, if if the press was defending us the way that the founders intended, I suppose you could say, then we would see a massive outcry along the lines of what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, I think of Thomas Jefferson's words to Charles Yancey back in 1816 when he wrote, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. The functionaries of every government have propensities to command at will the liberty and property of their constituents." Think about that. The functionaries of every government have propensities to command at will the liberty and property of their constituents. He had a way with words, to be sure. "There is no safe deposit for these but with the people themselves, nor can they be safe with them without information. Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. But the problem is the press is not free. It is marching in lockstep with the technocrats, and the American people are not literate. They're functionally illiterate." Therein lies a large component of the problem, but I digress. So anyway, this is kind of where we are, and I want to take today to focus on the videos that Richie from Boston has made and the subject matter of those videos, largely kind of dovetails with this discussion. Those videos of late, this month in particular, because, again, the original channel, YouTube, attacked, well, the latest original channel, I suppose. But you have videos that Richie has put out going backwards from most recent to least, worshiping the AI Godhead, the beast revealed. The web has been built around us, this singularity rising. I mean, they're all related. U.S. military caught spraying chemicals on Americans. Real dangers of 5G wireless radiation. D-Wave explained, "Now I have become death, the destroyer of worlds," quoting Robert Oppenheimer, quoting Bhagavad Gita, obviously. You know, that was back in the Manhattan Project days. But it's much worse than that now, which kind of calls to mind the, you know, that picture at CERN. The statue of Nataraja, the cosmic dancer. Anyway, there are several more videos, obviously, just in the last couple of weeks that, you know, transhumanism, AI is war, expert says. There's much more, but we'll get into that. So anyway, without further ado, because there's been much, Richie, are you there?
I'm right here, brother.
Welcome. Thanks for coming on the broadcast today.
Anytime.
So you've made several videos that basically, you know, I don't want to try to you know, sensationalize it, but I mean, it's this simple. As you say, I mean, it's here. The threat, the existential threat that guys like Elon Musk have talked about, even though they pushed forward and sort of ignored their own warning, it's here, and it's gotten here much faster than perhaps even Ray Kurzweil imagined. But it is here.
It's amazing, and the more I think about it, I'm starting to wonder if Elon Musk, you know, raising the alarm that opening, that continued development of AI was going to open a Pandora's box that we wouldn't be able to close, was just them using the Hegelian dialectic again, because later on he comes out with the neural lace. If humanity wants to compete with the AI, that just they're not going to stop building it, even though everyone building it knows that they're building the means to an end. They offer up this solution where they shoot a neural lace into your brain, and it's a spider web of sorts that wraps around your brain, and it will help humanity compete, basically ushering in the transhuman agenda. And it's shocking, yeah, because as sensational as the stories and the videos and the headlines all sound, all of this is being pulled from the news. This was speculation a few years ago, and yet
exactly
everyday headlines. Here we are.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as we talked about last night, this was something that Kurzweil wrote about in The Age of Spiritual Machines, among other places. He wasn't the only guy, but he's one of the main guys. And I mentioned Jaron Lanier's book last night, You Are Not a Gadget, A Manifesto, published back in 2010, Jaron Lanier is one of the guys, one of the biggest names in technology no one's ever heard of. Jaron Lanier is known as the father of virtual reality technology and has worked with everybody in Silicon Valley, everybody who's a who's who. And, you know, virtual reality technology goes back to the 70s, something people don't realize. I said last night that Lanier has talked about how they were talking about virtual graffiti, where they were talking about it in the 70s, where you could back out of your driveway, and maybe I left a note for you on the tree outside your house when you were backing out. It was a time stamped note, so when you left for work on Monday or whatever, you saw my note. And they were talking about it and doing it back in the 70s. And maybe I'll read a little bit from the book, because it puts everything in perspective. These guys, like you're saying, we were told it was sort of, well, it's futuristic. You and I know they've been planning it for a long time, but it's much worse. And Jaron Lanier is perhaps the only voice who has experience in the industry, a great deal in his case, but who is not fully on board with what he refers to as cybernetic totalism. But I want to touch on some of the things that you've covered. Some of the things that I think of in the videos, again, the CERN statue of Nataraja, the cosmic dancer. And what is that? You know, you've done a great job, Richie, of pointing out the occult, dark, interdimensional connection, basically summoning the demon, which is exactly what Elon Musk said. When we're doing this, this is what we're doing. I think people thought he was kidding, but he is not.
It's funny. It's funny that when you put up videos about CERN and you point out things that CERN is handing to the public for public consumption, it's amazing how you get attacked by, you know, scientific trolls in the comment section. And all I'm doing is pointing out the fact that if it's strictly science, if it's really experiment, prove it, and repeat, like science is supposed to be, why are they constantly putting out things like the short videos that they put out, Symmetry, that shows the Hadron Collider melting down, breaking into another dimension, the black and white duality? They show all this. They're the ones that decided to park Shiva out front.
Exactly.
It's this is, we're basing, if they just went along like a scientific corporation that was just doing things for humanity's own betterment, that would be fine. But that's not what's happening whatsoever at all. You know what I'm saying? It's unbelievable to me.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like you're saying, I mean, at what point do we stop pretending that there's a level of plausible deniability? I've joked for the last couple of days, but it's actually pretty serious. A corollary to the Moscow rules is that phrase from Ian Fleming's Goldfinger: once is an accident, twice is a coincidence, three times is enemy action. And what you're talking about, you know, time after time, this kind of occult, esoteric magic, essentially, that is paraded in front of the people, like Nataraja, the cosmic dancer, I think is the quintessential example. And that's a photo that's been circulating for almost 15 years now. I think it was back in 2004 they published that. And anyway, we'll talk more about that when we come back from this short break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with my special guest, Richie from Boston.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized?
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories
will come back.
Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and
running. All right. Hopefully we'll kind of dig in a little bit and get to where we're supposed to be going. I'll save it for the next segment, but I'm definitely going to read some of the excerpts from Jaron Lanier's book, because I'm telling you, folks, it's kind of like the anti AI and Singularity handbook, really, Jaron Lanier. You know, the way he puts it, guys like Ray Kurzweil believe in what he calls a technological rapture, and that motivates some of the most influential technologists like Kurzweil, and really kind of all of them that you hear about, all of the notables and even the unnotables these days. And so, you know, I'll just put it this way, Richie, and get your thoughts on this. Basically, this to me is one of the best evidences for the Bible, because we have today these guys that are working essentially in anti-biblical fashion, as I would call it. The Bible, you know, God tells us in Genesis 6 there was the flood. That was a kind of reset because things got so bad. God's heart was grieved. He's sorry that he made man on the earth, he says. But Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 that it's going to happen again, but this time not by water, but by fire. And when you understand the level of technology today, you could understand why. A flood would do nothing. These guys would make for themselves some other vault, a Svalbard. You know, you got the seed vault and the tech vault. Be another vault. And or they'd build the tower like they did in Genesis 11. The Tower of Babel, trying to reach up to heaven, being like Satan said in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, I will become like God. I will ascend above the heights of heaven. So you have these guys that literally believe they can download their consciousness into their laptop and live forever because they think that information, since it has no mass, will escape the fire that Peter says will. It's so hot it'll consume the elements. And that seems pretty clear. I mean, it seems who would think of this kind of stuff, but someone who's trying to, why not just, as you would say, why not just fall to your knees and pray like you've never prayed before? That seems like a better option to me.
I think about this all the time, and the only thing I can come up with is they've already made their deal and they know there's no turning back. So they are basically playing out the Bible. And one funny thing, this might have something to do with everything, and it might not. One of my subscribers sent me an email, and he was showing that he's found a patent and a recipe, basically, for barium, strontium, and aluminum. And not only do those three compounds basically fill our atmosphere, our entire atmosphere, with a thermite-like, speaking of fire, explosive material, but it's also incredibly magnetic. That's what they use to make ferrite magnets. You know what I'm saying? Which is really odd, because the main operating feature of the Large Hadron Collider is its extraordinary magnets. And it turns out that they're filling the atmosphere with the elements that you would need to make electromagnetic cores and transformers.
Exactly.
So it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Just another coincidence.
That's it.
Unbelievable. Edge. Yeah, exactly. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Richie from Boston.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't all that use me stuff.
Come back. Welcome back. We are chatting off air in the green room, so to speak. So anyway, joined once again by my special guest, Richie from Boston. And we're about to dive in pretty deep. So we're talking in the break, just to back up and bring the audience up to speed. I mentioned Jaron Lanier's book, You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. I've talked about it on the broadcast many times. I am a Jaron Lanier fan, but some of the salient points relevant to this part of the broadcast, he, on page 31, he has a section titled The Turing Test Cuts Both Ways. And just kind of paint a background a little bit. Brilliant points. He wrote, whatever the motivation, Turing authored the first trope to support the idea that bits can be alive on their own, independent of human observers. This idea has since appeared in a thousand guises, from artificial intelligence to the hive mind, not to mention many overlapped Silicon Valley startups. It seems to me, however, that the Turing test has been poorly interpreted by generations of technologists. It is usually presented to support the idea that machines can attain whatever quality it is that gives people consciousness. And as I said yesterday and I've said before, speaking of consciousness or whatever it is that gives people consciousness, when you think of a machine that has that without a soul, that is the ultimate personification of evil. But he essentially speaks to that here in a second. After all, if a machine fooled you into believing it was conscious, it would be bigoted for you to still claim it was not. What the test really is, what the test really tells us, however, even if it's not necessarily what Turing hoped it would say, is that machine intelligence can only be known in a relative sense in the eyes of a human beholder. Think about that. And he has a footnote that says Turing's 1950s paper on the test includes this extraordinary passage from Turing, from Alan Turing himself. Listen to this. In attempting to construct such machines, we should not be irreverently usurping his, capital H, God's, power of creating souls any more than we are in the procreation of children. Ah, but what are bad guys doing these days? Been writing about it for centuries. Rather, we are in either case instruments of his will, providing mansions for the souls that he creates. Again, capital H, God. So this is what happens, though. I say it all the time. You know, Luther was not a Lutheran. Calvin was not a Calvinist. Marx was not necessarily a Marxist, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point. These guys come along. I believe this is one of the reasons God said don't make any graven images. It's one of the reasons I've always been apprehensive about writing a book or doing something like that, because it's a dead work. The Bible is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, it says. And so God's message is always relevant for the moment, for the day. And it's a living word. Whereas what we do is not. And so when you're not there to defend your position, someone comes behind, a certain someone of history, and grabs your audience and becomes the new Pied Piper and draws all of those folks in. It reminds me of the catcher, what has become the swastika logo, that swirling catcher emblem that just sucks everyone in. It swirls around and catches everyone. But Lanier, just kind of continuing, he wrote, the AI way of thinking is central to the ideas I'm criticizing in this book. If a machine can be conscious, then the computing cloud is going to be a better and far more capacious consciousness than is found in an individual person. If you believe this, then working for the benefits of the cloud over individual people puts you on the side of the angels. Do you understand? That's what's happening. But the Turing test cuts both ways, he wrote. You can't tell if a machine has gotten smarter or if you've just lowered your own standards of intelligence to such a degree that the machine seems smart. These conversations with Sophia come to mind. If you can have a conversation with a simulated person presented by an AI program, can you tell how far you've let your own sense of personhood degrade in order to make the illusion work for you? People degrade themselves in order to make machines seem smart all the time. It goes into an example. He said, we have repeatedly demonstrated our species' bottomless ability to lower our standards to make information technology look good. Every instance of intelligence in a machine is ambiguous. The exercise of treating machine intelligence as real requires people to reduce their mooring to reality. Brilliant. Brilliantly written. And so just to kind of conclude, he writes, a significant number of AI enthusiasts, after a protracted period of failed experiments in tasks like understanding natural language, eventually found consolation in the adoration for the hive mind, which yields better results because there are real people behind the curtain. That's key. Listen, Wikipedia, for instance, works on what I call the Oracle illusion. in which knowledge of the human authorship of text is suppressed in order to give the text superhuman validity. It's true. That's how people think of it. You forget about the wizard behind the curtain. Traditional holy books work in precisely the same way and present many of the same problems, he writes. But here's the punchline. Listen. This is another of the reasons I sometimes think of cybernetic totalist culture as a new religion. Think of Andrew Lewandowski. We'll get to that in a minute. The designation, Anthony Lewandowski. The designation is much more than an approximate metaphor, since it includes a new kind of quest for an afterlife. And then, of course, Kurzweil. It's so weird to me, he writes, that Kurzweil wants the global computing cloud to scoop up the contents of our brains so we can live forever in virtual reality. When my friends and I built the first virtual reality machines, the whole point was to make this world more creative, expressive, empathic. And he uses the word empathic, not empathetic, which is a less desired derivative. The whole point was to make this world more creative, expressive, empathic, and interesting. It was not to escape it. Again, validating what we said in the last segment. A parade of supposedly distinct big ideas that amount to the worship of the illusion of bits has enthralled Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and other centers of power. It might be Wikipedia or simulated people on the other end of the phone line, but really, we are just hearing Turing's mistake repeated over and over. So that's the excerpt. Richie and I were talking about that in the last break, and you said we've been flatlining. That's when you started talking about how we've been flatlining since we flatlined up till about the 1700s, and then you said the 70 generations were complete. Speaking of Daniel, right?
Right.
And so do you want to just kind of go from where you were?
Yeah, it seems like, and a lot of other really, really thorough researchers have come up with the idea that maybe the 70 generations has concluded and the fallen angels are once again able to give mankind or men the ideas that they saw during creation, because it's amazing that suddenly we go from horse and buggy for the longest time, according to the history that they're presenting us with.
Right.
It's a strange thing to have to say, but the more research you do, the more you look into things, the more you start to doubt history at all. But regardless, are they presenting us with this unbelievably incredible artificial intelligence, or are they propping it up? Because if you look at The Verge is talking about Sophia as a cleverly built puppet designed to exploit cultural expectations, what a robot looks and sounds like. But then when you watch it, it's obviously picking up keywords and giving program responses. And like I said, even people like Piers Morgan picked up on that with his interview with Sophia.
Yeah.
Then I'd like to read this. It's a short email one of my subscribers sent me, and he's in this industry. He wanted to remain nameless for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I wanted to share with you my theory of the Sophia AI robot. Short version, they are deceiving us with their latest display of Sophia that appears to us as unfinished, not ready, with its weird smiling and winking. There is no way that this is the farthest they have gone. I suspect they have trials of human-looking AI out in public to test if people notice they have interacted with AI, a.k.a. the Turing test. Deception was, is, and always will be their main tool. And then he goes into his background, which is consulting, advising, security, architecture, defense, attacks, forensics, so forth and so on. He says, I understand the history and evolution of our computers, including the built-in, quote-unquote, intentional weaknesses that fuel capitalism, spying, etc. They could fix the problems, but purposely do not. Okay. What he's alluding to here is, why is it that they're presenting us with a robot that appears to be lip-syncing, doing uneasy smiling, winking? It's clearly not finished. They always present it so there's no two ways about it. It doesn't have a wig on, which is probably leaning towards the transgender agenda, but that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
N68 mentioned that when you guys live-streamed, right?
Right.
Yeah. Nicholson, 68.
The subscriber proposes this theory. A theory. When technology is made available for the masses, as I believe you have stated before, chances are it has been out there for a while. Look how dumb the AI, Sophia, looks. The winking, the weird smiling, basically unfinished, not ready. We see stories of automated vehicles crashing on day one. We hear threats of truckers about to lose their jobs to AI. These news stories that the only ones that are revealed are those that show how they are not ready for AI. And then it brings us into which way are they feeding us here? Is this AI really truly what they say? Is it really on the verge of taking over everything? Or are they trying to fool us again? Do you know what I'm saying? It's very difficult to tell because, like this subscriber says, deception is their main tool, and they've wielded it against us for years.
Absolutely. One of the biggest examples, obviously, you know, that comes to mind is the Apollo 11 nonsense, the Apollo nonsense, really, and how that's all but entirely debunked. I mean, what is the evidence of the Apollo mission, you know, of a man walking on the moon? What is the evidence? NASA seems to have zero evidence. There are a number of fantastic videos that have been made by great people, and Bart Sobrels is perhaps the most well-known. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon, and then TrueStream Media has done some great ones recently, among others, Gone's Face Like the Sun. You know, a number of channels have done some great videos, but the point is, you know, folks have, you know, speculated that, in simple terms, man on the moon was faked because we wanted to not just scare the Soviets, but probably bankrupt the Soviet Union is kind of the speculation. Anyway, the point is that, as you're saying, you know, that's a massive deception that appears all but entirely debunked. Even Russia is calling for an investigation now, apparently. And so it's possible. Manhattan Project proves that it's possible. You keep, you know, 100,000 scientists quiet, or whatever it was. I think it was around 100, 140,000 scientists working on the Manhattan Project, if memory serves.
A lot.
And yeah. So for the people that say you can't do that, absolutely you can. And the number gets smaller and smaller all the time. The best example that comes to my mind is, I always forget the name of the company. The company that replaced the Kodachrome division when Kodak filed bankruptcy, they had 30,000 employees in this division that was replaced by a company that had 50 employees. So the point is, as technology advances, the number of people that you need to keep quiet is significantly reduced as time goes on. So I would say it's entirely possible to put out a deception on that kind of scale and keep all of the deceivers involved quiet, not to mention the aspect of compartmentalization, which a number of folks have spoken to. So,
right. It's amazing too, the way that out of nowhere, they simply come out with the statement as a matter of fact, that we no longer have the technology to go back to the moon. We lost it, and it would
exactly
be painful. What? It would be too painful to redo it. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's like waiting for the people that were alive or have any memory of the original moon landing to go away so they can go to the moon again.
It's so utterly absurd. You know, and again, the Melissa Dykes in the TrueStream Media video laughing hysterically kind of comes to mind, but it reminds me of, you know, Jim Gaffigan. It's so absurd. It's Jim Gaffigan saying, you know, yeah, we don't want to do it anymore because it's hard. We'd have to put on pants to go to the moon. It's that absurd. And these are, you know, NASA folks saying this. Anyway, so back to your point about where are we in terms of this deception? How deceived are we as far as this illusion is concerned, Sophia in particular? I think of Dolly the sheep. And we heard about Dolly being cloned back in the late 80s, I want to say, early 90s for sure, right? And then fast forward to last year, Scientific American published the article July of last year. 20 years after Dolly, the sheep led the way. Where is cloning now? But we haven't heard anything about that. But at the same time, so we're not hearing about that, but we are hearing about things like CRISPR, where, you know, you can just kind of push a button and bam, I can have dragon wings, or I can have lizard skin, or I can glow in the dark like a jellyfish, or, you know. So that seems like a massive gap in technology. You know, the Scientific American article, 20 years later, it's all kind of whatever, and then CRISPR. Whoa. You know what I mean? So I think it kind of
they keep people mesmerized by the centrifugal bumble puppy, and once in a while they'll come out with, you know, by the way, CRISPR's here, and you can order up your child without any genetic defects, and you can actually add whatever you like it's no big deal. So what's I'm starting to come to the point, and the more I look at the work by Geron, it's making me wonder, which way are they going? Are there AIs walking around, and you know, are they doing a test in real time that we don't know while they're showing us? And, you know, they're doing the circuit with Sophia, who's ending up on Jimmy Kimmel and Piers Morgan, and she's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere. And if that's their best shot, it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I believe it's conditioning along the lines of what he wrote, the passage that I read, you know, about how people degrade themselves in order to make machines seem smart. It's sort of a conditioning. And I believe that it's, if I had to guess, if I had to speculate, I'd say it's a conditioning to usher in the worship of the beast, that AI-based system. It's just a way to get people to sort of, well, like Jaron Lanier puts it, degrade themselves in order to make machines seem smart, or not just smart. It's not just smart. With the aspect of AI and machine learning, it's not people degrading themselves to make in order to make machines seem smart. It's the Godhead concept that Anthony Lewandowski is talking about. So people, I mean, I'm sure you would agree, people are already acting like they sort of worship machines as the all-knowing, all-seeing. And the scientists behind it, the soothsayers of data and scientism, tell us that. They say, you know, we will query the data. We are the soothsayers of data. We can query the data, and it will tell us all the answers of, you know, all knowledge and history and future, you know. But it's not true. That is an illusion.
That's a good call. I mean, in less than a year's time, we went from the basically new word scientism to straight up registering with the IRS for a godhead that needs to be worshipped, and it'll tell people which way to go and all. It's just amazing how quickly. It's like there's always a big gap, like you were saying, between Dolly, and then we don't hear anything, and then CRISPR comes around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a blurry line, but still.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other things, you know, from Jaron Lanier's book, You're Not a Gadget, that I was thinking of based on the videos that you've made. Like, again, you know, the connection my brain makes when you made that video, a couple of them, D-Wave Explained, Now I've Become Death, the Destroyer of Worlds, that one, and Transhumanism, AI is War, Expert Says. Those two in particular, and there are others, but the next passage after the one that I cited is titled Or Consider Chess. And he mentions, skipping ahead, computers and chess share a common ancestry. Both originated as tools of war. Chess began as a battle simulation, a mental art. The design of chess reverberates even further into the past than that, all the way back to our sad animal ancestry and of pecking orders and competing clans. I don't necessarily agree with his historical leaning there, but continuing, likewise, modern computing Modern computers were developed to guide missiles and break secret military codes. Chess and computers are both direct descendants of the violence that drives evolution in the natural world. However sanitized and abstracted they may be in the context of civilization. And so the point is that these guys, the Kurzweils, for example, that are driving this technological innovation, they are hardwired to that concept, essentially. You and I mean, how could I not acknowledge the fact that technology has some benefits even to me, to us? I mean, this broadcast is evidence of that, a testament. But I wonder how much of this is just sort of superfluous to their cause. Sure, we'll let these guys do their broadcast while we do the dirty work of, again, trying to usurp God in an anti-biblical narrative, as I would call it, where they're trying to somehow preempt the fire that consumes all the elements that Peter talks about in 2 Peter 3.
A lot of people seem to be under the illusion that the Bible was written by the same them, the same
right.
They, the elites, and that's why it appears that they're following it. But I'd have to say that, just for instance, the censorship that we're seeing on social platforms, the people that are pushing Trump, the people that are pushing the alt-right, the alt-left, any of this stuff, they're fine. They're all left alone. The channels that are primarily getting targeted, and they're getting targeted. It's amazing the way they're breaking down the YouTube platform, Facebook,
yeah.
And so forth and so on, are all the ones that are saying, no matter what, simply fall to your knees and wrap yourself in the full armor of God. If you say that statement, your channel's going to get hit and targeted. So it leads me to believe that these people have indeed sold their souls and they're looking for a way out, which is pretty much obvious. They want to live in virtual reality, no consequences, no body. Put your consciousness, upload it to the cloud. Everything's great. The thing that I just started thinking of, now this might not be correct, but I thought of this while you were talking. They're showing us these wonky Sophia things. This is it. This is our AI, and look at this thing. She can't even talk and keep her mouth moving at the same time, but she's a citizen, and she's ready to take the reins of the entire military-industrial complex, the politicians, commerce, everything, because they want to get people used to seeing these things, and the AI is not ready. But they're going to fill these. These are going to be the vessels that people see and not even realize that they're talking to a demonically filled vessel. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely. And I think
does that make any sense? I just thought.
Absolutely. 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 I think you're right on point. You know, that's the part that people miss. Again, Kurzweil's book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, the title says it all. It's a transitional title. This first spiritual machine is intended to be humans that stick a chip in their head. The next, that's transhumanism. The next phase is posthumanism. What does posthumanism mean? So what fills that silicon skin suit, the one that's not carbon-based anymore? What fills it? These disembodied spirits, the demons. I think you're absolutely on point.
I think you nailed it, too, because the title, Kurzweil's title, does say it right there.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, stick around. Second hour coming up with my special guest, Richie from Boston, right after this break.
Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.